Portions of the following program were pre-recorded.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
See him on the phone. All right, stop the show real quick. We should tell you what's going on.
He's there.
Yesterday, we talked to Vic the Brick about his brother, Bob. We've been talking about Bob for years, but Bob's been on the radio before on the old Loose Cannon show. But we were talking to him yesterday about brother Bob, 91 years old. And now it's become a thing to where brother Bob is going to join us. So
today's the day.
Cates is calling him.
Fort Lauderdale.
Vic's on the access unit.
In the house, y'all.
Okay.
Bob, are we ready?
So that's what we're efforting.
Bob, Vic, are we ready?
I've been told is very excited, and we're excited.
Bob, are we ready?
And we have a four-hour show today.
Bob, are we ready?
But we're going to start. Is Bob ready or no, Cates? No, he's not ready?
We're not ready.
Okay. Well, let's start the show.
Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley.
If you ever need my help again, you'll have to blackmail me.
Gong it out, Vic. Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. We'll be here for a full 4 hours today, going until 7 p.m.
Cuatro horas.
Stacked show, stacked with 4 hours of great sports talk. A few
great
guests.
Sports talk.
A lot of stories. But most importantly, P, we start with the centerpiece of the show.
Centerpiece of the show.
Some 4 minutes into our broadcast.
NFL picks. We talked about this man yesterday. We talked about him over the years. The last time he came on to our station, this is what he sounded like.
Baruch atu Adonai.
Yeah.
Eloheinu melech olam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joining us now, fresh, creative, and free, 91 years old, straight out of Fort Lauderdale, an entertainer, a haberdasher, a raconteur, a man about town, Vic's older brother, brother Bob from the streets of Queens. What's cracking, Bob? How are you?
I'm doing great, and your Dodgers are going to be great this year. And, of course, the Rams have a big problem with Tampa Bay this week, but I think they're going to do it. There's no question they got the pass rush. They got two great pass rushers, and it's not just a question of getting the sacks.
Wow.
All they need is the hurries.
Yeah,
the GOAT basically has to get that ball out in 2 seconds, but I think the Rams are going to take him and take him down good. Dump him on his ass a few times, and Brady don't get up.
You're on his ass.
You're.
He always gets up.
I'm going to shoot,
Bob.
Brother Bob.
Hey, right? Hey, who knew that Brother Bob was such a sports aficionado? I mean, that's advanced-level analysis.
Jeez, Brother Bob.
Well, basically, listen, he played well against the Eagles, but if you notice, it was all short, quick passes.
That's right, 2.1
short, quick
seconds.
Passes, but maybe was it the wind, or was it the fact that he can't throw that long ball anymore?
Ooh. That's how you want to hear that. The great brother Bob, Vic's brother, is joining us right now, live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, a Jacobs family reunion. Sister Pat's next week, but we're just having a great time talking. Vic, what's it like? What was the last time that we had your brother on, Vic? And what's it like to hear his voice on the Petros and Money Show on AM 570 LA Sports?
It's bliss for me to hear brother Bob. He's
us too.
Always been my inspiration. As the older brother, I was always, you know, bathing, you know, in his glow, his incredible skill set. You know, he was a great athlete. He was always a great entertainer, still is a great entertainer. As you said, a raconteur, an incredible storyteller, but just, you know, a pure, beautiful soul who really inspired my life, and still does. He's my inspiration. I love him so. And his beautiful bride, Ginny, is his inspiration and his muse. And I just love hearing his voice. I mean, he is just an incredible spirit.
I love hearing
spirit.
You, my brother. I
You're
love
an
hearing
incredible
you,
spirit,
brother.
My brother.
I go back to you when you were maybe 14, 15, 16 years old on the playgrounds in Queens at 7540 Austin Street, Forest Hills, and you had a beautiful, sweet shot.
Oh, yeah.
You hit the basket. You're a little small. They banged you around the boards. But basically, you came up smiling, and you made those shots. And that's the trouble with the Lakers. They don't have that three-pointer.
they don't have
the guy that can shoot
shooter.
The three. Anthony Davis, done, finished, soft.
Street
He's
club.
More times on the bench than basically, I don't know, than the police.
Yeah.
I don't know who. They're never there. He's never there. He's never there for the great one, for LeBron. LeBron is magnificent, and to me, he was and is the number one of all time because Michael had a great guy next to him, and he had the greatest rebounder, had more shots than LeBron. Basically, cannot compare him. He is number one. He's a warrior. He goes to the basket. He shoots the three, but they don't have a compliment to him. And they are done for the year.
Whoa!
Basically, Curry is magnificent.
He's right.
Best three-point shooter I've ever seen.
There's a lot of... Hey, Bob, can we...
We'd love to jump
in here, Bob. You mentioned Vic at 14. We love Vic. And in this segment, typically when we start the show, a lot of times we're mining for information from Vic's past. And he's always very forthcoming. But I would love to know kind of where brother Bob came out when Vic was... Well, when he was in Guam... When he was
living in the Golden Triangle,
when we see these photos of him essentially walking the streets and the fields, stark raving nude, kind of, where was Brother Bob when all this was happening? How'd you feel about what he was doing?
I was making money. That's what I was doing.
And Vic was not.
Listen, in Miami, the city of crazies, of peaceful, of drugs and prostitution, of everything. My kind of town, Miami, is a great city. A great city.
Oh, we got a little of that voice. I mean, we might ask for. I mean, this has been playing in my head for 3 days. Play it, Ronnie. I mean, I just can't.
Baruch Ato Adonai.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. That is the voice of yesteryear of Brother Bob Jacobs. We are talking to him today on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline on the Petros and Money Show. His admiring younger brother, the great Vic. The Brick Jacobs, our dear friend, is on with him. It is a reunion of sorts on PMS, and we are having the time of our lives. And now, Matt, I'm starting to understand the influence that Bob had over Vic with the Raiders pick and the whole Al Davis thing.
He can really sell it.
Could you tell us about your experiences over the years with Al Davis, Brother Bob?
Well, Al Davis, I met him when I was in the Shelbourne Hotel. I was an entertainer there, and he was a guest. A very, very wonderful person, very knowledgeable, of course. His Raiders, they have a great team, but basically won't go too far with Carr at the quarterback. I think he's burnt out.
I like this guy.
And basically, it's like a Miami Dolphins, one of the worst organizations since Stephen Ross, whom I worked for.
Really?
I worked for 10 years for him. A brilliant, brilliant real estate developer in New York, a genius. But when it came to when he bought the Miami Dolphins for $1 billion, basically he tried to make it into an entertainment mecca. And it was a mecca of doo-doo. That's what it became. The swimming pools that he made over there for the girls to go in their bikinis, taking topless and everything, it didn't work. It wasn't entertainment. The Miami fans wanted a winner. They haven't had a winner in many, many years since Dan Marino. Mm. They haven't had a quarterback. They've had nothing but messes and messes. They passed up on the great, great quarterback from the
The Chargers.
From the Chargers, and they passed up everybody. Mm. They passed up everybody because they run a stupid organization. It's, you know, they pay everybody quantum amount of money. It's the same thing as Jerry Jones, another character. He's paying Dak $32 million a year. They play 17 games. Jeez. Listen to me carefully. They play 17 games. Each game is an hour. It's 17 hours. But the quarterback doesn't play just 17 hours. He plays only for about 30 minutes a game. So that's 8.5 hours for the whole season. He gets paid $32 million for 8 hours. This is America. He gets $4 million a game, and the schmuck can't even throw the pass right.
Yeah, Brother Bob.
Brother Bob in the house, y'all.
Raw power goodness. From the Jacobs family. Raw power.
Now
from
we
the
see
brother.
What happened. I mean, so influential, convincing. What a delivery you have, Brother Bob. It is. Was it you that drew Vic into the world of sports talk? Did he pull you in, Vic?
It was always an inspiration. He's such a natural communicator.
We're
obviously,
have to have him on weekly.
You know,
right?
Your brother Bob, you know, has been in the flow, you know, working since he was a kid. Because let's face it, you know, De Niro and the Jacobs household wasn't overflowing, and you know, Brother Bob was, you know, working, you know, as a kid. I know he worked at Ebbets Field when he was like 10 years old. Am I right,
Brooklyn,
Brother Bob?
You were, where the Brooklyn Dodgers played, Brother
that?
Bob? Tell us about Ebbets.
Let me tell you something about Ebbets Field, and not the L.A. Dodgers, whom I love, but the Brooklyn Dodgers in Ebbets Field. I was 10 years old. My mother, my beautiful mother, whom I adore, may she rest in peace, she used to give me a big, thick salami sandwich with thick mustard and pickles, and I used to go into the subway to get to Ebbets Field, and the whole subway stunk. If the salami was getting everybody crazy, but yeah. So what? I was... You had to line up with all the other kids on the weekends. Everybody raised their hand to become a style boy. You press the style, let the person come in. I was paid 25 cents for the day, but also an opportunity to watch the great Gil Hodges, the great Pee Wee Reese,
wow,
the great Carl Furillo, who basically, unfortunately, at that time, got paid very, very little compared to the wonderful monies they get today. Mm. And basically, they worked at filling stations. They worked in restaurants to supplement their income in the off season. But a great, great time until Branch Rickey took them out of Ebbets Field and took them to your beautiful city of L.A. But basically now Ebbets Field is a one huge, huge housing development. That's what it became, unfortunately, the demise of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Mm. Wow,
Brother Bob worked at turnstiles, man.
Yeah, so that you're just counting people coming in, and then what? When at a certain time,
count the styles.
Certain time you get to go watch the game. Like, is there a cutoff, and now you can just go in and watch?
After they finish, all the guys were in. They let us go see the game for free.
How about
so I got 25 cents for the day, which is not too bad. I can't complain because the subway was 5 cents. I came out ahead 15 cents. Not a bad day.
So, yeah, Brother Bob. That's what I think. Well, Brother Bob, we can't be more pleased than to be able to catch up with you and talk and to have you and your brother on at the same time.
He needs to sing.
We do want a song.
We got to get a song.
We don't care if it's a song in Hebrew or if it's a...
Well, let me tell you what the difference is between here and L.A.
Please.
We got sunlight on the sand. We got moonlight on the sea. We got mangoes and bananas you can pick right off a tree. We got volleyball and ping pong and a lot of dandy games. Now what ain't we got? We ain't got games.
Yeah!
Brilliant.
Brother Bob.
Freaking South Pacific.
Oh, people going crazy.
Oh, listen, he plays the hits. He plays the hits.
Is that your favorite show tune? Brother Bob, We Ain't Got Games from South Pacific?
South Pacific.
That's your.
Valley High will call you.
Yeah, Valley High.
From across the sea.
Tell it.
Come away, my little island. Come away with me. Valley High.
Brother Bob,
Bob.
Love it.
Fort Lauderdale's biggest G. We love you, Brother Bob, and we hope you can join us again soon. Thank you for the inspiration.
I will love you guys. You're great.
You're great. That was amazing.
Thank you so much.
Holy crap.
The best. 91 years, fresh, creative, and free.
You want to bid him farewell, Vic?
Brother, I'll talk to you later. He's a natural. He's wild. He has his hands on the pulse of the Shield. You heard his takes.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Brother Bob is kind of the opposite of you, though. Everybody sucked. He thought everybody sucked and was overpaid.
Tremendous observation.
We're very yin-yang.
Clearly. Is that how it always was, Vic?
Well, you heard him. He was always grinding in the streets, you're trying to make a living when he was very young.
Well, you were out there smoking mescaline.
Well, I was out there, you know, in the Golden Triangle, you know, looking for the next opium plant.
Right. We all have our calling. Your brother Bob's was making scratch. Yours was tracking opium.
Different journeys.
Right?
Different journeys, but...
But here we are.
The one love.
But, you know, the nod to South Pacific, I feel like, is a nod towards your life, living a life of sin in the Golden Triangle and the South Pacific.
He definitely inspired me to go Tropicalia, there's no doubt. Mm. Because he was always singing, you know, show tunes. You know,
I believe we sang Bally High together, Vic, when we were in Honolulu together with Matt and the Doctor.
Exactly. Remember, he was a triple threat on stage. He was a triple threat on stage. He sang, he danced.
Yeah.
And he told some really cool stories. And he that's where he met Al Davis, you know, at the Miami Beach Hotel right there on the beach. He was performing there. He was a young dude.
All the young dudes.
He can still belt it out. I mean, he's got a...
Damn, he sounded great.
Sure did.
Tremendous pipes.
And talk about sharp. How old is he, Vic?
91.
91.
Man!
We need to get him a Comrex.
We do.
He eats... His diet, his secret is salmon and vodka.
Adonai.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, he went
likes
down
a cocktail,
Miami,
you know, likes a zinzang.
He likes his little zinzang?
Likes his zinzang.
How does he dress, Vic? Sansa belts?
Sharp-dressed man.
Yeah? Does he get dressed every day? Like dressed to the nines every day, even
like
though
us?
He's not going anywhere?
Like a beautiful, you know, cotton... T-shirt, you know, comfortable to the skin.
Okay. Slacks?
Probably a black.
Shorts?
Maybe some shorts.
Okay.
I can't believe he sang Bally High for us.
Oh, he goes wild on Bally
Star.
High.
Star.
Is he a clean-shaven man? High and tight on the hair?
High and tight. High and tight. Never grew a mustache or beard. Just very always, you know... Very well-groomed man.
We've had the two best guests of 2022. The UPS guy yesterday.
Steve,
and now Brother Bob in Fort Lauderdale. Just amazing stuff. How's Jovan Buha going to live up to that? Like, how's Jovan Buha?
Not going to be easy.
What's he going to say?
Maybe take some shots at the Lakers organization. We'll get excited about
that. There is this whole Frank Vogel thing going on with the Lakers.
Is that a thing?
Russell Westbrook.
I mean, they're on a plane right now to Orlando. Who knows if he's on it? And when he gets off it, they're just going to fire him on the tarmac. So we don't know.
Who knows if Russell Westbrook's on it? Maybe he's super angry. Hey, listen, I don't have to go on that plane.
I own a bank.
I can do that.
I own a bank.
Okay, that's okay. I'm allowed to do that.
I can do that.
I'm allowed to skip the team flight to Orlando. Okay? I'll be there.
It's part of the game.
Tell me what I can and can't do. I'm Russell Westbrook.
So we will discuss the sadness that is being a Laker.
How about knocking Tom Brady on his ass and make sure he doesn't get up? Man, taking some shots at Tampa. That
it's
was one of
hurries.
Brother Bob's hot takes. Yeah, that's right. Sacks are a meaningless stat. It's all about hurries. He brought us that as well.
Overpaid Dak Prescott.
Woo. 8 hours of work, $32 million. What are we doing here?
What are we doing? They're overpaid.
Crazy equation from Brother Bob there.
Not like Pee Wee Reese, who had to work in a gas station.
I got a little excited when he was talking about Miami and what they originally did. You know, they put in the swimming pools and had the bikini-clad ladies.
Just then he said it was wrong.
Didn't work.
They wanted
didn't
a winner.
I don't need that. I need winners.
I want people to want to win.
Want to win.
Tom Telesco wants to win. He's going to join us in the 6 o'clock hour. Matt's going to have three things Thursday, and we'll kick around for 4 hours of great sports talk. All
great
the way
sports talk.
Until 7 o'clock. And what's the deal? We got Brandon Gomes with Vasay on for a half hour. Dodger talk for 1 half hour. And then the UCLA-Utah festivities begin in Salt Lake.
It's an 8 o'clock tip. 9 o'clock in Salt Lake. That means Tim Cates, full court press, will probably get rolling 10:30-ish?
About 10:15, yeah.
10:15-ish on our AM570 LA Sports Instagram Live. For a post game.
Will you guys be up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll check in.
It's possible.
Oh, I'll maybe check in. Maybe. A lot of times I say I'll check in and then I'll forget.
Alright.
Jovan Buha, though, will join us next. He covers the Lakers for The Athletic. You see him on Spectrum Sportsnet LA. We'll get into Frank Vogel getting fired, Russell Westbrook. Well, he hasn't been fired yet. And he's not sweating it. That's why he benched Russell Westbrook for 4 minutes, finished the game in a loss to Indiana last night. Buha will join us. Vic, you're the best. We love your brother, Bob.
I'm feeling you guys. Beautiful.
Hey, Vic, thank you for involving your brother. You think Pat can pull that off?
Thank you for inviting brother Bob into the mighty mix.
You think sister Pat could pull off what brother Bob just pulled off? Or
should we go a different direction? There'll be a lot of fashion and the streets of New York talk.
But could she perform for us like brother Bob just did?
She has a wonderful voice, but brother Bob is the king of is our number one entertainer in the family.
Mm. I don't know, Vic.
She's a peltist.
She is a peltist.
We could talk.
She's a pure soul. She's meditating right now somewhere in Manhattan.
Well, that probably wouldn't be good for the radio.
Trying to stay out of trouble. Stay off the subway platform.
Speak for yourself. We'll be back.
You still there? Yep, just meditating.
With Jovan Buha. Buha, we got you all in check. Next.
Get P and Money on your smart speaker.
Mic check, mic check.
Just say, Alexa.
Yes?
Play AM 570 LA Sports on iHeartRadio.
Big thank you to Brother Bob. Oh, you missed that. Want to relive it?
Wow.
On the iHeartRadio app. Subscribe to the Petros and Money Show podcast. Listen at your leisure. You can also stream in the moment if you are not near an AM radio. And remember, AM 570 right here, LA Sports, is your home of Super Bowl 56. And all weekend long, we got all the divisional round. Doubleheader on Saturday. We'll actually play the early game here. Late game, 49ers-Packers on AM 1150. And then Sunday, we got Bills-Chiefs right here on AM 570. The P, we shift our focus to the round ball.
Jovan Buha! Buha! At Jovan Buha on Twitter, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. He's been around for a while now. Latest piece posted on The Athletic is all about Frank Vogel benching Russell Westbrook last night.
Ooh!
And what it means now. You can see him on Spectrum Sportsnet as well because the information, along with his profile, easy on the eye.
Yeah, it's a good-looking man. Does a bang-up job covering the Lakers.
On the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline, it is Jovan Buha. Hello, Jovan. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's been a minute.
It has been a minute, and we appreciate you taking the call and answering the phone. Now, who's on the plane, Vogel and Westbrook, or are they pumping one of those little rail cars on their way on the down the 10?
That would be a long trip to Orlando. I think they're both on the plane, but they're in separate parts of the plane.
How bad was that last? I mean, you've been around this whole year. You've kind of seen this thing sort of, I don't want to say delineate, but it has been the waters are getting rapidy, so to speak, kind of rough. How bad was last night based on what you've seen so far this year? You've been all over this.
It was really bad. I'm not going to mince words, and neither is Frank Vogel, apparently, with him being candid about why he chose to bench Russell Westbrook down the stretch last night. But this is something that I feel like has been building towards this moment, and it reached a bit of a boiling point last night. And, you know, I just thought it was telling that with his back against the wall and with his job potentially on the line with another loss, Frank Vogel, you know, went down swinging, and his version of that was benching Russell Westbrook. And I think he's towed the company line all season where even when Westbrook has these games with 9, 10, 11 turnovers, Frank is out there pumping him up and talking about his contribution and him still being a plus and doing other things that help the team. But that was not the tone he had last night. And I think it was kind of telling that, you know, when he actually had to make a decision that would potentially affect his job status, that decision was not confident in Russell Westbrook, right? And him kind of saying, I'm going to go down with Malik Monk and Austin Reeves and these younger guys who are, you know, either shooting the ball well or contributing on both ends. And, you know, I think it felt like a you know, the rabbit's out of the hat, and I don't know how you put it back in at this point, right? Like, and maybe that, you know, maybe Vogel, we'll talk to him about it tomorrow, and I'm sure he'll try to downplay it. But, you know, Russ, he left the court early, and, you know, players, you know, sometimes players will do that if it's like a bad loss, and it obviously was a bad loss for the Lakers, but I thought the context of it was telling that he, you know, left with 13 seconds left. You know, the game was not over. He walked to the locker room. He gets dressed quickly, leaves before the team has their post-game meeting, and then doesn't talk to the media after we requested to talk to him. So Russ did not take it well, clearly. LeBron basically acknowledged as much afterward as well. So this is just the latest drama in Lakerland, and there's a lot of different things going on, be it Frank's job security, now Russ's role within the context of the organization, and just also what's going to happen with this team with the trade deadline coming up and them really struggling.
We know all about the subtweets from LeBron and his past. As someone who goes to every game that gets to put your eyes on what's happening on the bench or as these guys are moving about, do you get the sense that Russ fits in just personally, emotionally? Are they engaged on the bench? Are they laughing? Are they having a good time? Or is he just isolated and kind of a loner on the bench? Like, it feels like he is on the court. Like, he's doing his own thing and the other four guys are doing something else.
Yeah, I think the off-the-court fit is better than the on-the-court fit. I think part of the reason why the Lakers traded for Russell Westbrook was his personal relationships with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And I think, we've seen them, be at events off the court or even their interactions on the bench and stuff, I think have primarily been positive. I do think that LeBron, seeing the way that Russ has struggled at times this season, be it his poor shooting, the turnovers, the defense, like, I'm sure that has grated on him, to some extent. I think that there's been some comments, post game where, the subtext kind of is, I think, pointed at Russ, but he's never going to directly call him out. So I think that the on-court stuff has maybe worn on the relationship a little bit, but from everything I've seen, it seems like they do have a good relationship. And again, I almost wonder if that almost, was too much of a reason why the Lakers brought him in. And maybe LeBron thought that he could get a version of Russ that no one has been able to get, because up to this point in his career, teams have always had to adapt around Russell Westbrook. He plays a certain style of basketball, and he does not, adhere to his team. It's often the other way around. And you saw even Houston going so drastic to trade away all their big men and just completely go with wings and guards, a couple of years ago. So the Lakers have almost kind of had to do a version of that. Now Anthony Davis has been out. He's going to be back soon, and I think that'll help. But, the Lakers have basically gone centerless for large stretches now, trying to create that spacing that Russell Westbrook sort of negates with his, lack of shooting. So I think the on-the-court fit is the problem that I don't know how they're going to solve. But off the court, I think it's okay.
Is there is anybody willing to take responsibility for this? Does Rob Pelinka do State of the Lakers, State of the State, once a month, every 2 weeks? Have you seen Kurt Rambis floating around? This is not Frank Vogel's fault. Everybody can see this is a bad fit. So who's to answer for it?
Yeah, I think Rob is going to speak with the media within the next couple of weeks, is my understanding. And I'm sure we'll ask him this line of questioning. Maybe it'll be closer to the trade deadline, so we'll get a better idea of what the team's looking to do. But I'm with you guys in that I think there's there's always a scapegoat in these situations, and for whatever reason, a lot of the blame has been placed on Frank Vogel. I think he's an easy scapegoat. It's always easiest to blame the coach. Carmelo Anthony even said as much last night that he's like, it's easy to blame Frank, the coaching staff, but it's on us. We're the guys that are out there. We're the ones that have to perform, and we're not doing that right now. And that's exactly how I feel. I mean, I think if we're divvying up the blame pie, Frank gets a slice, but I think management gets a couple slices at least, right? I think ownership deciding not to bring back Alex Caruso and not go deeper into the luxury tax, they definitely get a slice or two. I think the players, a lot of the players have underperformed, including Russell Westbrook. And then, again, you finally get to Frank, who gets probably the last slice. But I think, there's a lot of blame to go around. And to me, right now, it's probably easiest to put it mainly on Frank Vogel. But I think he's done a solid job. I mean, he won a championship 15 months ago. It's like that. Most situations, you are Teflon for at least, 3 years after winning a championship. So for him to potentially be fired within 16 months, what would be pretty insane to me when, last season LeBron and AD missed 60 plus games combined. This season they've already missed, 30 plus games. So you have those guys healthy. I think we're even with all the struggles, I think the Lakers are in a much better spot if Anthony Davis is healthy. So I don't think you can put that on Frank Vogel. I think you can put it on ownership for and management for really restructuring this roster, three straight seasons, right? And You had a championship core that you dismantled last season, and then you had another core last season that you dismantled for this season. So there's been no continuity. Obviously some bad luck with injuries and COVID, and especially last year with LeBron and AD going down. But I think there's a lot of blame to go around, but to me, I'm kind of more with you guys, and I think Frank deserves some blame, but I think he's probably getting an unfair hand right now.
The great Jovan Buha joining us right now on the Petros and Money Show. He is from The Athletic. How healthy of a situation can it be where the guy's coaching for his life every game? I mean, what kind of recipe for success is that for anybody in their job? And is Kurt Rambis poking around, making people nervous? Is that true? Jeez.
Yeah. From what I've heard, yes. I don't know, poking around to the extent of returning to coaching. I don't think that's going to happen. And with that kind of getting out and the reaction to it being so negative from the fan base, I would be shocked if the Lakers went in that direction. But it's not an ideal situation for Frank. And he did, yesterday he addressed us pregame and said he doesn't feel like he's under siege, and he has a healthy relationship with the front office, and you know, they meet after every game, and that's been standard for 3 years now. So he downplayed it. Obviously, that's not a healthy situation, right? And I think for a coach with his track record to already kind of be under fire, halfway through a season that, again, I don't really think is fully his fault. It's a dysfunctional situation. I think you could even go back to the offseason when they gave him a one-year extension. Initially, he was not their primary choice. They gave him a three-year deal, which is not the industry standard. Most coaches get 4 or 5 years. So they already went after a couple coaches. He was third or fourth on the list. They give him a short deal, and then he wins them a championship, and they give him a one-year extension. And left and right, they have not fully, I think, respected the job that Frank Vogel has done. And of course, any team with LeBron James, LeBron is going to get most of the credit, rightfully so. He's amazing. Anthony Davis had a special run in that 2020, championship run in the bubble. But I do think Frank Vogel and his defense and his ability to adapt series to series was a huge part of that as well, and really pushing the right buttons. So I think it's a tough situation, and it does seem like to me this probably ends with him being fired at some point. Barring a miraculous turnaround, which I just don't see with the way this team has played all year. It's unfortunate because I think for winning a championship, you should be fine for at least a couple seasons, if not three. And that clearly has not been the case. I mean, they've been kind of after him since the beginning of the season. So I don't, it does feel like the writing's on the wall to some extent.
Jovan, how much, and look, they're the reason why Anthony Davis is here. They're the reason why LeBron James is here. But how much of this is on Team LeBron, on Rich Paul and all those guys? We've talked about them really being the true general managers in a sense of roster construction. Is some of this on LeBron? You talk about the blame pie. Is some of this on LeBron and bringing all his buddies to town and getting Carmelo out here and getting Russ out here? Do you feel like they had a pretty heavy hand in that as opposed to it just being Rob Pelinka?
I think they deserve some of the blame as well. I think especially the Russ, the Russ part of it, I think, came more from LeBron and AD and the players, and that's already been reported. There's been reports of the dinner they had kind of at the 11th hour right before the Lakers were about to do the Buddy Hield trade, which I think clearly in retrospect would have been the better path.
And a little.
You could have kept Alex Caruso. You could have kept KCP. You could have kept your pick. I just imagining the Lakers with more shooting and depth and in defense like that, that's a much better team than the current version. So I do think that, I think you get LeBron's reasoning to an extent where, in theory, Russ helps with the load in the regular season and could carry some of that and, maybe makes things a little bit easier for LeBron. But with AD being injured and with the way the rest of the supporting cast has underachieved and kind of busted, that has not been the case. LeBron has actually probably carried the biggest load he's ever carried in L.A., and he's doing so at age 37. So, I definitely think they deserve some of the blame. And he gets, I'm giving him a slice too, right? But I think ultimately the management shaping the roster and ownership and some of the financial decisions that they made, that's where I feel like most of it comes down to. But, LeBron for recruiting and bringing in Russ, I think also deserves some of that blame as well.
So is AD going to come back and they're going to be, not as much of a dumpster fire?
Yeah, I think so. Now, I think them winning a championship or being a true contender, you know, barring a significant trade or just, you know, like, again, miraculous turnaround where all of a sudden these guys are all on the same page and the chemistry is better and, you know, these guys in their mid-30s are playing like they're in their mid-20s, like, barring something like that, which I just don't see happening because we have not seen that this season. I do think the Lakers, even with AD, have a ceiling of maybe like a second-round team at best, and that's probably your ceiling right now. And that's a disappointment, right? Because you tell me LeBron James and Anthony Davis are on a team, I think contender. I think contention. I think that team can win the West, and they were the preseason favorite. And for them to now be looking at a best-case scenario of like maybe a 5 seed and maybe winning in the first round and giving like Phoenix a push in the second round, like, that is a failure of a season, in my opinion, for this group. So, you know, I think we have to recalibrate our expectations and stop holding them to that championship standard because they have yet to show that. And they followed up their best win of the season against the Jazz with their worst win of the season against the Pacers. And that's just been the season. I mean, if you look at the schedule, game by game, you know, good win, bad loss, another bad loss, a good, like, it's just, there's no consistency. And so I think Anthony Davis is going to help. You know, they obviously need his scoring, his rebounding, his defense. He definitely raises their ceiling. But even with AD, they weren't that good before. And it's just hard for me to see them making a drastic leap at this point.
Last thing, Jovan, just in terms of Russ, is when you combine the cost, you know, just the number that the contract is, making him virtually untradeable, although we always say that and guys get traded. But just when you combine the cost with the on-court performance, are we talking about one of the worst sort of contract plus performance deals in the NBA of what Russ has going? When you see him night in and night out, like, how bad is he compared to the amount of salary you are carrying and how prohibitive that is for you to try to do anything else?
It's up there. It's got to be top two or three. You know, I look at a guy like John Wall making $40+ million and not even playing, and that's partially not, you know, it's just due to the situation he's in Houston. But I think you would take Russell Westbrook over John Wall. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I mean, I'm thinking about you know, Ben Simmons right now not being a great contract, even though he's a young guy in his mid-20s. Tobias Harris, you know, Al Horford. Like, there are some contracts that stick out with players that are probably worse than Russ. But I think the one thing with Russ that has kind of always been there is he's always been a player who, you know, despite his greatness, and you know, I think we can't forget that year, right? Like, you know, Mr. Triple-Double and winning an MVP and all the stuff he's done, he's always taken more off the table probably than most stars with just his shot selection, his turnovers, his inconsistent defense, and that stuff is often glaring. And I think his strengths have weakened where he's not as good as those, you know, at those things, finishing and different stuff that he used to be, but his weaknesses are still there. And if anything, are getting even worse. So I think that kind of trade-off, like, even comparing him to some players that are maybe worse overall, they might not, you know, they might have better shot selection. They might be better shooters. They might take care of the ball more. And it's like, where's the trade-off there in terms of efficiency and kind of what you're taking off the table versus what you're bringing to it? So I would say he's up there in the top two or three most untradeable contracts. And, you know, I don't envy the Lakers in trying to trade him. And they have been shopping him the last few weeks, and they have not gone really anywhere with those conversations. So it does feel like, you know, he's got a player option next year. You assume he'll pick that up. So it does feel like, you know, unless the situation just gets untenable where he demands out and just, you know, will even reject his player option to just get out of L.A., yeah, it feels like they're probably going to have to, you know, have him for at least another year and a half.
You know, it's no fun for the other beat riders to sit there and try to compete with Buha.
Can't do it.
And to catch up with the Atletico, the great Jovan Buha. Great job, and we love seeing you on Spectrum, Jovan, and congratulations on your success. Thanks for coming on today at short notice and giving our listeners this good perspective.
Yes, sir. It's good to hear from you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
For sure.
You don't have to lie about it. It's good to hear from us.
Enjoy Orlando.
No.
Yeah, you know, taking into consideration the number and, you know, what he takes away from other guys, sure. Russ is probably one of the worst. Sorry,
so why'd
Frank.
So why'd they do it?
You effed up, Frank. You trusted him.
So why'd you do it? I blame Clutch.
Yeah.
Clutch.
It was a hell of a dinner, though. Like, it was, you got to remember, I mean, it was Seafood Tower.
I heard about that.
Like, it was a hell of a dinner.
It looked like a Christmas tree. It was such a big Seafood Tower.
They had white Zimf.
For everybody.
For everybody. I mean, they're getting drunk on white Zimf. It's like, man, we got to do this every night.
I'm looking at your wine list here, and I don't see a white Zinfandel.
What's up with it? Is it secret menu? Is that why? For it's only those of us good. To know?
We'll be back. We've got a Brother Bob reaction is pretty significant.
Yeah, I would assume.
And a lot more great sports talk to come.
Great sports talk.
On AM570 LA Sports, your home of Brother Bob.
They'll never clone ya. They're always first on the line when you're a boy.
The Petros and Money Show.
AMS.
Podcasted at AM570LASports.com.
Sunny. Yesterday my life was filled with rain. And sunny.
Big thank you to Jovan Buha. Follow him at Jovan Buha. J-O-V-A-N-B-U-H-A on Twitter. And follow him at The Athletic. Bang up job covering the Lakers. They are en route to Orlando as we speak right now. And as he said, Frank Vogel, unapologetic when addressing the Russell Westbrook was benched for the final 4 minutes of the game, saying, my team's on the floor. Guys are on the floor that I think are going to help me win this game.
My team's on the floor.
Pulling no punches. Still ahead, Tom Telesco going to join us, and that'll be in the 6 o'clock hour.
A lot of textoso reaction to Brother Bob.
Oh, I can imagine.
Sold out to Chevy.
First segment, we had Vic's brother, Bob Jacobs, who's 91 years old, on with Vic and Matt and I, and very popular. This says, I haven't been able to get Brother Bob's voice out of my head with those sweet tones since you played it this week. I'm not Jewish. But my girlfriend is, and she says, Baruch Hashem, P.
Baruch Atu Adonai.
Yeah.
Elohino Melech Olam.
Yeah.
Amen.
Brother Bob versus VTB is the true embodiment of that you versus the guy she tells you not to worry about. Bob stole all the puzo juice from Daddy Jacobs. That's for sure. He did have a lot of style.
He did, but Vic had a different style.
Vic's got his own style.
I mean, Vic's got puzo juice.
No,
the guy
no
would
doubt.
Roll around naked. Like,
you see
whatever.
Vic naked
here it
in
is.
The Golden Triangle. Right. Brother Bob was making money clean shaven. But.
Vic said he was chasing opium plants.
F yeah. Brother Bob, feeling you. You need a weekly segment with him. What a voice. You need to bring him in to sing Branded and Two at a Mono Tuesday.
Oh.
Or a Frogman Friday to do the read. I think we can make Brother Bob do anything, and probably for free.
It was a hell of an observation by you to point out that Brother Bob's sports takes very negative.
Very.
Marinating in negativity.
Like as opposed to Vic?
Vic that is just nonstop. Let's get from the darkness to the light. Brother Bob, this guy's making too much. This owner's a genius in real estate, but he's a bum of an owner.
Yeah, this guy sucks.
That guy sucks. Tom Brady, knock him on his ass, Rams. They got 4 pass rushers. Get him on his ass.
Do you blame him, though? He's been to Miami for so many
years.
That's
what he really got after Miami. And they wrote, Miami was a joke, just like Brother Bob says. Flipper used to be in the goddamn end zone.
True story.
I thought that was just on Ace Ventura. They really had Flipper out there.
That's a true story.
Congrats on the Marconi that Brother Bob just won for you. Well, let's not get crazy.
I mean, he did call Dak Prescott a schmuck. That may prevent us from winning the Marconi.
God bless Brother Bob. What a mensch.
Yes.
I'm from a Brooklyn family. That was fantastic. Thank you.
I think my favorite part was the vision of the salami sandwich. Thick cut salami on a roll.
Stank.
The mustard and the pickle.
And he didn't care.
And it stank, and everyone's looking at him on the subway, and he's like, I don't give a damn.
Brother Bob is precious. We must protect him at all costs. I agree. He's very important to the show. Brother Bob is a straight G. Give this guy a show from 9 to noon.
Baruch Ato Adonai.
Yeah.
Eloheinu Melech Olam.
Yeah.
Amen.
Just to hear him and Vic together. After Ronnie pulled that sound of Brother Bob, and we realized that Brother Bob was available to book. I mean, some of these things, they just don't occur to us. You know, like, hey, Vic's talking about this guy. He's alive. We asked him if he could talk. Vic said he could talk. So we brought him on, and lo and behold, he could talk. But it was so obvious to put on Brother Bob. What the hell took us so goddamn long?
That's a great question. I think because of the way that he was reintroduced to us, Vic used him as a crutch, as an excuse.
And now I don't blame him.
Because we were assaulting Vic verbally about his selection or his trying to go back on his selection of the Chargers over the Raiders on Sunday in the fourth quarter when the Chargers were down 15 and he invoked Brother Bob. So I think our defenses went up. That's the problem.
You're right. He used him as a human shield.
Yes, and instead of recognizing the opportunity in front of us, we just got more angry with Vic for invoking Brother Bob's name as a reason.
Yeah, you're right. It's like bringing God into it when he doesn't belong.
Yeah, and now we're supposed to bring God back? Like, what if God was one of us?
Just a slob?
Just a slob.
Like Baruch Ato Adonai.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. We don't go long. It's ain't like KFI where we take 12-minute breaks.
I did like the repeat of that in our installment with Brother Bob.
Oh, he's saying Bally High.
And he was singing Bally High.
He's saying we ain't got dames.
Vic was trying to piggyback it.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Wonderful.
He's saying we ain't got dames. He's saying Bally High. We'll find you where the stars meet the sea. Here am I, your special island. Come to me.
And what did he start
with? Come
to me. Did he start with My Kind of Town?
Yeah. Like a My Kind of Town, Chicago,
Miami,
but it's Miami.
But he did Miami. Good stuff.
Impactful.
Really was.
Really, really pleased.
He came shot out of a cannon with just heavy sports.
Oh,
ball.
Didn't even say hello. Just started spewing it out.
Love the Dodgers. They're wonderful. How about your Rams? Four pass rushers. Tom Brady, knock him on his ass.
Called Dak Prescott a schmuck.
How about that?
Broke down how long he's out on the field, playing minutes.
Right.
What about when he's in the huddle? You don't count that? Jeez.
Gotta be counting.
Tough guy.
Leadership.
We'll be back with more PMS on AM570 LA Sports. Are we giving anything away today, Kate?
That's okay. A negative.
All right. You say you came to Baltimore from home.